Blog Talk Radio. Morning.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another wonderful, awesome, awesome Sunday with Minister Sheila and I with Let's Talk. And we are going to have some awesome subjects on today that we're going to talk about. Some of them are going to be exposing. Some of them are going to be promoting. Some of them are going to be convicting. But I thank God that Minister Sheila and I have the opportunity to come before you one more Sunday morning. So many people aren't here in their right mind, and they're not here anymore. So her and I are very present today, and we thank God on this side of heaven. Minister Sheila, did you want to start off with prayer and whatever God gave you, or just start off with prayer and then I can start? However you want to, just let me know.
Good morning. And I want to say is thank you, God, for another day of life, another day to love and to cherish and to praise your name, another day to worship and to understand you are the only one and the only one ahead of my life, and to bless all that are listening and to all that you have awoken today, and to bless them to only know and to know and to learn more and more of you, Father God, and the Son, Christ Lord Jesus. Lord, I look upon you today, and I ask you to bless the people and to thank you for the ones that you have blessed to give life to today. Lord, I thank you for today, because without you, I would not be here. Apostle Elijah Cecilia would not be here. I ask you to bless Apostle Andrew Thomas, you know, to bless her to keep the word of joy and love and to come in unto you. I thank you for Minister Sylvia Kyler for life and love and to understand you. I thank you for Pastor Troy. I thank you for Apostle Antoine. And I'm sorry, I have to cut my breath. Apostle, let me take over. I'm at work. Excuse me.
Father God, we glorify you and we magnify you. We lift up Jesus so that he could draw all men unto him. God, we thank you that everything that we do, that we can come before you, we can lay aside every weight that so easily beset us. We can cast our cares upon you, God. We thank you that you've given us the ability to confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that Jesus was not only virgin born, but he's the Son of you, God, the Son of the Most High God, the one and only true and living God. We thank you for Jesus being our Savior. We thank you for by his stripes we're already healed. We thank you that the blood of Jesus cleanses and covers us. God, we thank you for giving us the ability to be willing and agents, people that are of free will, God, that you didn't make us robotic where we'd have to follow a program, God. We thank you that you've given us the ability to decide to be holy, to decide to love you, to decide to want to live right. God, we thank you. We thank you for exposing all of the things in this world, God, that will come against your people to try to cause us to miss out on reigning with you, miss out on worshiping you in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. For they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God, we thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against us thou shalt condemn. We thank you, and today we're going to talk about some of those things that come against us, those fiery darts, those sins that would so easily beset us, those various things that would try to come to tempt us, to cause us to be distracted from our walk with you, God. We thank you for causing us to know that we know that we know without a shadow of a doubt. It doesn't matter what the enemy brings our way, that you're greater, that you're stronger, that your love, your unconditional love, God, you don't give us the ability to play the blame game. From Genesis to Revelations, God, you've taught us that we can look at you and we can come before you and we can bow down before you and that we can ask you, God, for you said we have not, for we ask not. So, God, we're asking you on today, God, to cause us to look in the mirror, in a spiritual mirror, to see what you see, God, and that we would ask God to come and cleanse us and cover us with the blood of Jesus. And we thank you for your word. It reminds us to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We thank you that we're redeemed. We thank you that we're saved. We thank you that we're prosperous. We thank you that we're healthy. God, we thank you for all that we are, for we're living the blessings of the Lord. We thank you that goodness and mercy is overtaking us, that is running after us. We thank you that no matter where we go, that you would be there. We can't hide from you, God. We can't hide this or that or go here or there because you're there, God. So we thank you for being an ever-present God. We thank you for being Alpha and Omega. You're the beginning and the end. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you, God. We ask you in the name of Jesus that you would do all that you can do for us, God. We want to be not only rich on this side of heaven in blessings and assets, God, but we want to be rich in wisdom. We want to be rich in peace. We want to be rich in love, God. We want to be rich in you, God. Thank you for teaching us how to be those that are long-suffering, that are those that endure until the end. We thank you, God, for the prize that is set for us, God, and you are the greatest prize, and we can't even call you that because you're greater than that any of us could ever want. It's to live for eternity with you. In Jesus' name, I agree with every prayer that has already been prayed and the prayer that we just prayed. We pray for everyone connected to Smile3E, the Blog Talk Radio. We pray for all those that are listening, but most of all, God, we pray for our nation. We pray for our leadership in and outside of the church, in the homes, God. We pray that men will be men and that women will learn how to be women and not only be those that will submit to their own husbands and not everybody else's husbands, which is another thing that we're going to talk about on today, God. Cause us to be those women that your word talks about, those Proverbs 31 women. Oh, my goodness. Cause us to be the women that you're proud of, those Deborahs that can lead a nation, those Deborahs that can help us win a war, those Queen Esthers that can save a nation and a people and expose the tactics of the enemies that would try to come and kill us, not only naturally but spiritually. We ask you to encourage the families that have lost loved ones on this week and last week, today, whenever, God. We ask you to encourage. And we thank you for giving us another day to be on this side of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, before we get started, I'm going to read a few things to you, and then I'm going to tie the word into it. So this is something. This is an ongoing discussion and debate that we need to discuss. Someone is in something that they call a relationship. And it's this relationship, they have a roommate, or they're shacking up. We're talking about people, well, whether they are heterosexual or homosexual, they're with their friend with benefits. And so, or they're with their ex and their boyfriend or their girlfriend, or whether they're the current boyfriend or girlfriend, I ask the question, this person that you're with that's you're a person of endearment or a relationship, they're not committed to you, they're not married to you, but you're living with them, you're giving them all of the benefits of a wife or a husband. So if they're not willing to commit to you and now you're upset with another person that's in the relationship with them too or people, what gives you the right to call them a side piece? Aren't you a side piece as well? Why would anyone that's wonderfully and marvelously made by God allow themselves to be a side piece or an extra piece or a temporary piece? Why would we forget about our true self-worth? Why and where did this phenomenon of being acceptable or being accepted and to be in a situation where you're a side piece or you're shacking up? Let's stop making excuses, the blame game. Well, we're going to get married or we're going to do this. No, you haven't did it yet, so let's stop acting like, oh, we did it before. No. I don't want to hear it, and I don't think God wants to hear it either. He's just loving and he's kind. So this is not to judge you, but it's saying let's get it right, people. Let's stop settling for being that which God has not created us to be. And let's stop doing it and still saying that we're God's child, we're this or that. And then not only connected to that, if you're the side piece, if you're the extra person, if you're not the person that's in a real committed covenant relationship with him, let's talk about life insurance. Life insurance is truly a life insurance type policy that we get when we have salvation from Jesus Christ, so that we can be have our benefits of reigning with Him and living with Him and being able to live from this side of heaven on the earth to be with Jesus and to worship our Father in spirit and in truth every single day. And I thank God that heaven and His presence is not even conformed or must be apart or constrained by days. So in the natural, when you have a life insurance policy, it can pay for the person's parting and then even leave a little extra something. So say someone passes and they're your husband or your wife or your child and you have a life insurance policy on them, you don't have to cry 50, 60 times or every time you think of them, not just because you lost them, but because of the bills and the various things that you lose. Some people lose their homes, their cars. They lose so much. Some people don't even have jobs. They just, all they were a side piece. So that person didn't love them enough, and I mean that, did not love them enough to be critical thinking enough to set up a life insurance policy so that they could pay for that funeral, they could pay for that home, or at least where they could sell that home and get another home of something that they could afford, because maybe they're not making that seven-digit income that other person was, or maybe they didn't get that life insurance policy that was worth millions and millions. So say that on this side of heaven that you don't do that. Now the person has to call these meetings and stuff together to ask the family to bring in money, or someone has to go into their life savings and do this or that. You might say, well, Cecilia, you don't understand. The devil is a liar. Yes, I do. Me and my siblings have been there before where someone in our family did not have the life insurance, or if they did, they didn't tell us about it, but we knew we didn't have one on them. So then not only a certain person in the family had to pay for shipping the body back, they had to pay for the place where the funeral and everything was held, they had to pay for a lot of things. But if that person had a life insurance policy, that would not have been the case. And some people have to leave their family members at the morgue to be burned because they can't even afford to go and get the person. Well, life insurance on this side can be as little as $15 a month for a $75,000 policy. Excuse me. So therefore, some people spend $15 a month or even a day on cigarettes. Some people spend that on a meal. They spend that on an event that they go to. They go to see a movie and they buy popcorn and chips and every little candies and drinks, and it's more than $15 a month. So we can't say that we can't afford life insurance policy on ourselves, let's keep it real, on our children or whatever. If they're married, that's, you know, their husband and wife supposed to do all of that, not unless you and that child has an agreement that you will make sure that they're buried and all of that. But then that spouse will need to understand that life insurance policy wasn't for them because they didn't pay for it. How many of you know that there are people that will come that have, because I'll just say it, me and my sisters had this happen to us, where my mom and my dad spent all these years paying for their life insurance policies. And then whether they're extramarital kids or kids outside of the marriage, of that covenant between my mother and father, had the nerve to come and ask for their part of the inheritance. How are you part of the inheritance? The inheritance was for my mother and my father. And so, therefore, if there was an inheritance for you, it should have been something that your mother did. And if your mother was in an extramarital affair with my father, if your father was in an extramarital affair with my mother, not saying that happened, but I'm saying if that was the case, why are you coming to our family for that? Because that wasn't our parents' responsibility. At least not our mother or our father who wasn't involved in that thing. So then it gets a little messy right there. But so if in the natural we need life insurance policies to take care of situations so that there's no messiness at the end, there's no extra grieving at the end, and Jesus has already paid the price, my God, for our life insurance policy, now why would we allow sin, perversion, things that God hates, murder and things like that, why would we allow those things to mess up our life insurance policy with God? Why would we want to go to hell when we have a life insurance policy that we didn't even have to pay for? In the natural, we pay for our life insurance policies. We pay for it on a monthly basis, a weekly basis, an annual basis, every year. But with God, the life insurance policy that he's given us is eternal. All we have to do is say yes. All we have to do is be willing to say yes. All we have to do is want to say yes. But see, some of us take for granted even the fruit of our wombs that God has given us. Some of us have children, but are you taking care of those children? Let's read this long, I'm going to tell you already, it's going to be a number of scriptures. 1 Samuel 2. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord, and in the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly and let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumble are armed with strength. Those who were full hired themselves out for food, but those who were hungry are hungry no more. She who was barren was born 7 children, but she who had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive, and brings down the grave and rises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts up the needy from the ash heap." I mean, he lifts the needy from the ash heap. My God, wonderful. "He sits them with princes." Yes, he does. "And has them inherit a throne of honor." You hear that? To inherit a throne of honor. "For the foundation of the earth are the Lord's, and of them he will set the earth. And he will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the places of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Most High will thunder from heaven, and the Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his kings and exalt the horns of his anointed." Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, and the boy ministered before the Lord Eli, the priest. Can you imagine? Hannah, this is Hannah. She prayed. She not only prayed because she had a barren womb, but she prayed for God to give her the fruit of her womb. And then Samuel, who this particular chapter is written by, is that child that was the fruit of her womb. And now Eli, who Samuel was serving, let's talk about what his sons did. Do you hear me? What his sons did? Because sometimes our sons and daughters are doing things and they're defiling their physical temple that God has given them, but some of them are defiling the temple where we praise at. Okay, let's read this. Eli's sons were scoundrels. They had no regard for the Lord. Now it was the practice of the priest that whenever any of the people offered a sacrifice, the priest's servants would come with a 3-pronged fork in his hand while the meal was being boiled, and would plunge the fork into the pan and kettle or chondro and pot. Whatever the fork brought up, the priests would take for themselves. And this is how they treated all the Israelites who came to Shiloh. But even before the fat was burned, the priest's sons would come and say to the priest who was sacrificing, "Give the priest some meat to roast. He won't accept boiled meat from you, but only raw." My goodness. If the person said to him, "Let the fat be burned first and then take whatever you want," the servant would answer, "No, hand it over now. If you don't, I'll take it by force." This sin of the young men was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offerings with contempt. How many of us are treating the Lord's life insurance policy with contempt? But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him, and when she went up to her husband to offer the annual sacrifice, Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, "May the Lord give you children. May the Lord take the place of one she prayed for and gave the Lord." Then they would go home, and the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She gave birth to 3 sons, 2 daughters, and meanwhile the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. See, she went from being barren to being able to have 6 children, and one of her children, she birthed 3 boys and 2 daughters. I mean, she had 5 children now, and one of her children was able to be in the presence of the Lord. That's Samuel working with Eli. Now, Eli, who was very old, heard about everything his sons were doing. See, he knew what his sons were doing. And so we'll go over the scripture again. So Eli, talking about the priest, the head of the household, who was very old, heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel and how they slept with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of the meeting. So he said to them, "Why do you do such wicked? I hear from all the people about the wicked deeds of yours. No, my sons, the report I hear spreading among the Lord's people is not good. If one person sins against another, God may mediate for that offender. But if anyone sins against the Lord, who will intercede for them?" Let's read that again. If one person sins against another, God may mediate for the offender. But if anyone sins against the Lord, who will intercede for them? His sons, however, did not listen to his father's rebuke, for it was the Lord's will to put them to death. Mm-mm-mm. And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with his people. So many of us are allowing the wickedness to run barren in our members. We've already heard from God. We've already heard from the priest. We've already heard from our spiritual and our natural parents, our brothers and our sisters, about living right before God. But yet, we still forget about our life insurance policy, and we are trying to not cause it to expire, but we're not really worried about it expiring because we're doing things to make sure that we're disconnected from that contract. See, a life insurance policy is a contract. It's something that you have with a New York Life or Omaha Life or whoever you have it with, and you know that there are certain things on there that can be done that will cause that contract to be null and void. So why are we allowing sin to do the things that it does to disconnect us from our life insurance policy? There are men and women of God that are the priests and the preachers and the teachers in church, and they're defiling the temple because they're sleeping with the women at the door. They're sleeping with the, if they're a woman preacher, they're sleeping with the men at the door. Why is it that we're doing things in the church, defiling it, when God has already told us over and over again to stop doing it? Years ago, this man of God said, "There might be a lot of things that I do wrong, but I'm not going to go to hell for sex." That was exactly what he said, and he would preach it over and over again. Well, there are some people that have on the title of pastor, preacher, teacher, apostle, servant pastor, bishop. I mean, all of these titles, and some of them just go by their name. Some of them are evangelists and prophets. And they're not only perverting the temple with sexual perversion, but they're perverting it by robbing people. I mean, it's not where the person's not paying their tithes and offerings. I'm talking about them telling people that God told them this or that to get money from them. There's people that are pimping the people of God, and they're going to be exposed. There's people that are taking their sexual perversions and taking advantage of women that just want to be the first lady, or men that just want to be in ministry and things of that sort. Men and women of God, this is a message to provoke you and to challenge you and the Holy Spirit to convict you for that type of behavior. You're being side piece mentality in the church where the pastor or the preacher or whoever is using you financially, that is using you sexually. That's not God. When Eli's sons were doing it and he went to them to talk to them about it, you heard that God was going to put them to death. But they had an opportunity to repent. They had an opportunity to get it right. If just one of them had a turn and got it right. But see, we can know that our children are doing stuff and act like we don't see it, but God sees it. And so you don't want to be like Eli or any other person that's the head of your household, or even that person. You could be the head, and you're living in sin. You're living allowing someone to pervert you sexually, financially, mentally. I mean, there's some people that are being beat to a pulp, and it's because they have forgotten that they're wonderfully and miraculously and beautifully made. They're God's handiwork. We're his handiwork. We don't have to settle for being a side piece. We don't have to settle for being misused and abused. We don't have to settle for being second, third, or fourth. We are his jewels. We are you're a diamond. I mean, you're the precious ruby. I mean, you're the Queen Esther. You're the Deborah. You're that great woman of God. You're that great man of God. You're that man that God loves. You're that man that God calls his own. You don't have to be like, well, David did it and God forgave him. Well, if you look at David, he was quick to repent. Some of us are making excuses for what we're doing and thinking that we're going to get an opportunity to repent. Well, excuse the grossness of what I'm about to say, but I'm not going to say it because this is in the boldness of what I need to be talking about today. Some of you are going to come and go at the same time. And so if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're going to be in the midst of climaxing sexually and you're going to die and you're not going to get an opportunity to repent. So stop thinking that you're still going to have an opportunity to repent. And some of you may even be able to go through having all of these sexual perversions and things of that sort, or manipulating and using someone, but then you lose your right mind. So say you're still here, but you don't even have the mind to repent. You don't even have the mind to do right, because now God has given you over to your sin, to where you're a reprobate now. You're like, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar. You're just all out there. You may not ever get an opportunity to be in your right mind to repent. You may stay in that spirit of perversion for the rest of your earthly life. I'm asking us on today, whatever it is, whether it's sexual perversion, whether it's financial perversion, whether it's being used and abused, whether it's being a doormat for people, whether it's allowing people to put their foot on your necks and just hold you down like we see some of the police doing. I mean, even the police brutality that we're seeing on today. I would challenge them to stop doing that, because that's not of God. The racism, the sexism, the various things that people are doing in their prejudiced mindsets, that's a perversion that's not of God. God is not telling you because you're white or you're black or you're Asian or you're Hispanic that you're better than the next person. What he's telling us that he has better for us. And the way that we have better as a nation and as a people, as being the people of God that we're supposed to be, that are quick to repent. I didn't say we were perfect. We're quick to repent. We want to get it right before God. We're not playing the blame game and saying, I did this because he or she did or said. Some husbands and wives are cheating on each other because the other one cheated on them. No, your accountability is to God. Let's get it right with God. And if you say you're someone's brother or sister, or if you say you're someone's relative or a close friend, how are you sleeping and even having perverted jokes? Or even if you think it in your mind, you've did that thing. You've already conducted it. You've already committed it because you did it in your mind. You did it in your heart. Oh, we was just joking around. Stop playing with the tactics of the devil, where you're playing with people, you're watching different type of perverted shows with them, you're having perverted what they call it, sex attacks and all of that stuff. You're doing stuff on texts, you're doing stuff on conversations. Don't entice and tempt the devil, because my mom used to sing a song and remind us how the devil will not only get in the car with you, but he'll end up driving, and now all of a sudden he'll take you further than you wanted to go. So let's get it right, people. Let's realize that our life insurance policy that we have with God through Jesus Christ, that he sent the Holy Spirit here with us to convict us, to confront us, to expose us, to encourage us, to keep us connected to that life insurance policy of life, eternal life with him, so that we don't have to have our contract void, so that we don't have to have our contract destroyed, so that we don't have to be disconnected from the contract of life insurance policy on the spiritual side, because too many of us are not paying our life insurance policy on the natural side. Some of us are trying to get benefits of a life insurance policy without even being in it, like those children that were of extramarital affairs or whatever they were. Why are you trying to get the benefit of covenant A and B when you were over here in C? That's not the way it works. C needs to get their own life insurance policy. And that's why when I go before God, my life insurance policy is for me. When Minister Sheila goes before God, her life insurance policy is for her. You know what? It's not for her kids. It's not for my kids. We can't go before God for a life insurance policy for our kids, because once you're of age, once you're now that person that's supposed to get married to God on your own, your mama and your daddy and all of them can't do it for you. Once you're at that age of accountability, your life insurance policy with God is between you and him. See, on the natural side, you can have all types of life insurance policies, and you can have it for this person, that person. You can have it for all of your kids, your aunts. You can just do all types of things with their permission. But guess what? The life insurance policy with God is one-on-one. It's you and him. And too many of us are playing with our life insurance policy with God because we think we're going to have an opportunity to get it right, or we're saying, well, David was quick to repent, I'll be able to repent. Or some of us are even confused enough to think that, okay, it's already under the blood. You're right, it is already under the blood, but not practicing sin. When you're practicing sin, you're saying to God that sex, I'm using sex as an example, is greater than him. You're telling God that that perversion is greater than him, when it's not. The flesh is weak. But guess what? That's why we have the Word of God. That's why we have the Holy Spirit of God. But when we pray in the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, and when we pray the Word of God, his word shall not return unto him void. It shall be established in that for which he sent it. And when we pray, because, see, the enemy don't want us to pray. Because, see, when we pray and we pray in the Holy Ghost, we are strengthened. We are encouraged. We are redirected. We are refocused. And, see, we got to stay in prayer. And you got to be praying with someone that's connected to God. For if you're both out here on the left and the right side, And you're praying, I'm not saying that God won't hear you, but are you praying the word of God, or are you both just complaining? Is your prayer a complaint, or is your prayer a petition? Is your prayer a complaint, or is your prayer something of worship and admiration and exaltation to God? Are you exalting God? Are you exhorting God when you pray? What is your prayer? Not saying that you can't complain, but why would you complain? For we are to cast our cares on the Lord. We're to lay aside every weight that so easily besets us. So we cast our cares on God, and if we give him everything, why and when would you have time to worry or complain now? Because now that you've given it all to God, it's time to praise him. For where there's one or two gathered in his name, he's in the midst. One can chase 1,000, two can put 10,000 to flight. So now that you've given it all to God, he can give you the peace that surpasses all understanding and the joy unspeakable. He can send his angels that are encamped all around you to remind you that many may fall at your left hand or your right hand, but it won't come nigh you. He can be there to remind you that although many of the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver you out of them all. So in that long suffering, in that present suffering that you're going through, whether it's a sickness or a dis-ease or whatever it is, just know that God is right there with you. Because sometimes in order for God to get us closer to him, he has to allow things to happen because we're so easily distracted by this or that or him or her. How? How? What? What? Where? Where? Why? Why? What does it take for God to get your attention, to let you know that the life insurance policy that he gave you is better and worth more than the houses and land and anything on this side of heaven, because it's all temporal? Let's not let a temporal feeling, a temporal whether it's that of pride or lust of the flesh or lust of the eye, that temporal thing, it's not eternal, except for it'll give you an eternal life insurance policy in hell. We have to decide, when your life insurance policy pays off, your spiritual life insurance policy, when it pays out, is it going to pay out a life of eternal life with God, or is it going to be a life of condemnation with the devil? Decide on today, which life insurance policy do you want? Because they both are based off of our choice. Choose the life insurance policy of eternal life with God, the salvation plan with God. Let's not choose the other one for a temporal feeling. None of us are perfect, and whether it's sexual perversion, whether it's lying or cheating, whether it's misusing and abusing people, whether it's taking people for granted or neglecting, whether it's gluttony, whatever it is that's causing us to think that it's bigger and greater than God, let's go before God and lay aside every weight that was so easily beset us, to cast our cares on God. Let's not even let unforgiveness get us. Some people are so quick to want forgiveness but not to give it. Let's walk in forgiveness. Let's forgive even those that the world would say were unforgivable. They showed a thing where a police officer that was shot by a man ended up befriending him and almost like a mentor to him. I'm saying on today, there's plenty of people that have done you wrong, spoke ill of you, but God wants you to be a blessing to them. He wants you to bless those that curse you, do good to those that hate you. He wants you to pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? Because that's what God has done for us. Stop defiling the temple, not just the temple where people are meeting and serving and worshiping God in spirit and in truth, or they should be, but this temple that he's given us from our heads to our toes, from the inside out. Remember, Jesus saves, and he loves you, and the salvation plan of God is eternal. But you choose what the payout is. It's only one of two ways. Your life insurance policy will either pay out eternity with God or an eternity in hell. You choose on today. That's all I have, Minister Sheila.
Thank you, and I apologize for the interruption, but yet and still I do thank God that no matter what I do or what I am doing or what comes before me, I am still able to praise his name and to worship him and to participate into this program. And I said, excuse me for earlier, to do as into my prayer. I am going to continue. I pray that you bless Prophet Antoine Thomas. And he is a man of God, and the words and truth that comes from him. And I ask you to bless Pastor Troy Thomas, for he is another young man of God, of teaching the word of knowledge and to understand. And bless Minister Brandon Kaiser, for he is a man that has grown to love you and to teach and to understand and to worship you. Lord, I ask you to bless each and every man on this earth, and woman, child, to let them know that, as Apostle Elect is just saying, the evilness that they do, that they think is so fun and so mighty and so powerful, is so evil. Let them understand that you as the words say, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Don't think because you do this, you will get away with it. There's no time for this evening. We have enough. We need to realize that God is the way, the truth, and the life, the peace, and the love, to love each other and to bless each other and to wish and pray the best for among and each other. Lord, I ask you to bless me, and I ask you all that are listening into the spirit world and to the world through God. Bless me through these procedures and tests that I have to go through for the next couple of months, and bless me to come through it with shiny colors to make it all match up, that maybe I don't have to have the surgery that's scheduled for November. And Lord, I ask you to bless me and carry me through this world, that I will know you and only you. And Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you, and I want to keep thanking you, because without you, I would not be here today. And as I should pray for me, that no wrongfulness will come from these procedures and tests that I have to go through, and that I can be able to recover from them with flying colors. And I just ask you to pray for me and pray for all that are sick in this world that's going through pain and agony, and to for whatever there is this year. Lord, I ask you to cover them and to recover them from this, to remove all these aches and pains, and to let us know through you all is possible. Thank you. And thank you. Anything else from you, Apostle? Yes.
Just the announcement for the program this week.
Okay, I can do that. Let's ask for each and every one to don't forget our Sunday mornings. Let's talk with Apostle Elastic, Cecilia Kaiser, and myself, Minister Sheila Kaiser, on Sundays from 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, with Let's Talk. And on Monday night, Iron Sharpen Iron with Minister Sylvia Kaiser and myself, Minister Sheila Kaiser, Prophet Elect Cecilia Kaiser, Minister Brandon, on Monday night at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and on Friday with Elder Kathy Kendall, with God Still Heals, from 9 p.m. Central Standard Time to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Lord, I also ask you to bless Elders Kathy Kendall and Dr. Serena White, two women of powerful knowledge and words of God. Lord, I just ask you to bless all that I have mentioned, that I didn't mention, that I know and don't know, to let us know you have more angels than the devil could ever think about. If you understand that you are watching us and blessing us, but yet we just need to know and understand you are the best and the only Father that is so true and so powerful, that can heal and cover and bring love to us in every which way there can be. So if there's no anything, if there's nothing else to be said, Apostle, Elector Kaiser, I will say, have a nice, blessed day, and to understand each and every day is not promised to us. Minutes is not promised to us. And we thank the Lord. I cannot thank him enough for each and every split second. We can tell him thank you. The song was here 5 minutes ago. It might not be here now. But thank you, and I thank you. Amen.
Amen. And don't forget our foundational scripture, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Until Monday night, as Minister Sheila said, with Iron Sharpening Iron at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Bye-bye.